Thank you for joining us today as Pastor Tim shares the Word of God. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God and constant, powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Tim with today's message.
Are you ready to receive the Word today? Today, we're halfway in the middle of June. We're halfway in the middle of 2016. Our life is moving very, very fast. And we just can't let what is vitally important get passed over because we are so busy doing what's not all that important. And that's why our church each year has a major theme. Because we understand we get busy and we just roll up our sleeves and we dive into all that we've got going on, and whether it's really very important or not. And sometimes we overlook what's really important. At the end of the year, we're the same as we were at the beginning of the year, just blowing and going and not sure what we're getting anything done. We have a theme that we want to focus on in the midst of all of our hustle and bustle. What is our focus of this year? And 2016's theme for Christian Ministries Church is Jesus is Lord. Today, we're halfway through 2016. So the title of today's message is Jesus is Lord Update. Where are we? We're halfway through. Are we closer to Him being more Lord in your life? You know, when asked the question in America, are you Muslim? Are you Buddhist? Are you Hindu? Are you witchcraft? Are you Christian? What are you? And all the options here. The Barna poll shows that 80% of America answers by checking the Christian box. Now, what is shocking is with that percentage of Christian America, how 54, 56, 68% of America votes. That's shocking. That's shocking that 80% say they're Christian. Well, why isn't all votes 80% on the biblical side of things? That's what's shocking. There's always been some debate over among Christians over the rapture. There's always been some debate in denominations over the catching up of the saints and over the thousand-year reign and over, are you staying here on this earth to reign? Are we going to heaven to reign? Then are we coming back here on this earth to reign? And, we've been talking about that for 2,000 years. But dear Lord, we got which bathroom to go to. I mean, we have gotten who gets married and who doesn't. I mean, we have, for all these years, known who wears the earrings and the lipstick and the high heel shoes. Okay, we have had some things that we've had handled. Seeing a church on every street corner, seeing the number of Americans who attend church on a regular basis, seeing the number of Americans that say, yes, I am a Christian, and then watch the majority of America rewrite and redefine what the Bible calls a sin. We obviously have a Lord issue. You know, while you may have repeated the three-sentence deal, while you may have slipped a hand up while nobody was looking around and every head bowed and every eye was closed, what I'm asking is Jesus Lord? What we're asking in your life is Jesus Lord? Romans 10:19, it doesn't say if you repeat a three-sentence deal. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. As I study Scripture, I don't see a lot of way for Him to be Savior and not be Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says that you and I were bought with a very high price. Acts chapter 2, chapter 15, chapter 16, chapter 19 says, if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. The dictionary gives us the definition of the word Lord. It says ruler, master, to domineer over. The church has America believing that you can slip a hand up and your flesh still be Lord. your will still be Lord. Your desires still be Lord. Your mood still be Lord. I hear those calling themselves Christians say, well, I think, and what they say is opposite from God's word. I hear those calling themselves a Christian say, well, personally, I believe. I hear those calling themselves a Christian saying, well, for me, it's okay. It's okay to do what God calls a sin. I hear Christians say, I don't see anything wrong with it. And God says his wrath is loosed from heaven on it. Well, who am I to say? You aren't to say. Thank you for asking. Well, who am I to judge? I'm not saying, nor am I judging. I'm lining up with what the Bible says. Whatever happened to Galatians 2:20? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it's not me. It's Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Water baptism is to demonstrate the salvation experience. And that is a death, a burial, and then a resurrection to live a washed, clean, new life. And as a Christian who has died to the old life, as a Christian who has died to the old who you were, my question is, why are we still counseling and praying for what the Bible says is supposed to be crucified? We're talking about what happened to you when you were 7, what happened to you when you were 12, what happened to you when you were 16. Now we got some good people talking, and they can talk about what happened to you when you were in the womb. What about crucifying all of that? What about dying to all that you've been through, all that happened to you, and living a brand new life? A brand new life that is so different from the way you used to live, you look back on yourself and really you can't even believe that was ever you. What you did is so repulsive to you and so foreign from your thinking now that you can't imagine that you ever did anything like that. A theme verse for us this year has been Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, 10, and 11. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Today we're just having a little update. We're halfway through the year. I want to ask the members of our church, are you making Jesus Lord? Or is your temper still Lord? Is your mood still Lord? See, we here in this church aren't going to get to the end of the year and still be pretty much like we were at the beginning of the year. That ain't us. We're going to go and mature. Corinthians says, glory to glory. This church, if you're a member here, you won't be like you were when you started here. You won't think like, act like, talk like, because we are renewing our minds with the word. Ephesians says we are washing our minds with the word. And so we don't just come to church, how are you? Oh, I'm good. How are you? I'm good. God bless you. And leave and still same thing. We're going to have a Lord change. We're having a Lord change in this place. Does your divorce, is it still your Lord? Is your job loss 5 years ago still your Lord? Is your bitterness still your Lord? Is your unforgiveness over something or somebody still your Lord? We're just having an update today. This really isn't a sermon, we just have a little update. I'm asking, does your mate still push your buttons? Or does Jesus have your button? Does your coworker, he just flips my switch? Or does Jesus have your switch? Well, we're just asking the question here. Is there a Lord change taking place in your life. I'm glad you're in church. It's a good thing. You need to go to church. Bible says you need to go to church. I'm not talking about going to church, nor am I talking about volunteering. I'm talking about, is your moods, is your anger, is your temper? Well, I personally believe, who's calling the shots in your life? When you see Jesus as your Savior, you've got some satisfaction. You're not going to burn in hell, and that's good. But your temper is causing you to live in hell right now. See, your moods is causing you to live in hell right now. Your lust is causing you to live in hell right now. Your bitterness is destroying your life right now. You're not going to hell when you die. You're just living in hell right now. And that's where most Christians are. When you make Jesus not Savior, but you make him your Lord. The Bible's clear. The old man dies. The old man dies. And now Jesus determines your thoughts, your ideas, your actions, your moods, your reactions. We've been asking, who is Lord of your life? This isn't just a fancy sign that we put up here to bring a little color onto the stage. We're asking ourselves a question. Who is Lord this year in your life? And we continue to go over and over and over again. I hear all the time, well, Tim, he just preaches the same thing all the time. You can be comforted in the fact that I will always just preach the same thing all the time. Just keep on coming. It won't ever change. It's just pretty much going to be the Bible. That's about all I'm ever going to preach. I just get bored. He just preaches the same thing over and over. That's pretty much what I'm always going to. John chapter 3, and I want you to go there. John chapter 3. I want everybody to see this. There was a man named Nicodemus. He was a religious leader. You know this guy. Every one of you. Every one of you know a Nick. He was a Methodist. And Baptist. Some of you know Nick. He's a Lutheran. Some of you know Nick, he's Assembly of God. Some of you know Nicodemus, he's really religious, he's Pentecostal. Yeah, he's real deal. Everybody knows Nick. Goes to church every Sunday. Deacon. Served on the deacon board. Verse 2. Here's Nick. We know Jesus, and we know Jesus did miracles. Do you know we've got a world full of people in America today that know Jesus and beyond a shadow of a doubt know that he did miracles? We know God sent Jesus and we know Jesus did miracles. I hear pastors on TV talk about Jesus, talk about the miracles that Jesus did. We all know Nicodemus's during our day. Religious people, deacons, elders, serve on the board, volunteer. They know God sent Jesus, and they know Jesus did miracles, but it has no effect on their life. It has no effect on their choices. It has no effect on their decisions. It has no effect on the way they were born. I was born this way. We all know Nick's. Here's Jesus' response. It's very interesting to the religious people. Here's Jesus' response to the deacons and the head of the elder board and the song. Well, I'm the song leader. Well, here's Jesus' response to the lady that makes apple pie for every bake sale. Here's Jesus' response to the, I never miss church. Here's Jesus' response. Look at verse 3. Unless you are born again. And the church told people, don't anybody look around, every head bowed, every eye closed. Slip that hand up. Oh, I see that hand. Well, Jesus told those people, unless you're born again, unless you are born again. See, Jesus told 80% of America that checks the Christian box, unless you're born again. Corinthians tells us it's a place in your life where old things pass away And all, A-L-L, your past divorce, your past wreck, your past job loss, your past hurt, your past abuse, your past disappointment, all, A-L-L, all things pass away. And everything in your life becomes brand new. Who you were, how you were taught, how you used to think, how you used to entertain yourself, how you, all. It all passes away. And you are born again. This makes no sense to the Lutherans, to the Methodists. This don't make any sense to the head of the deacon board. See, this doesn't make any sense to the Assembly of God leadership. See, it don't make any sense to the religious people. It doesn't make any sense to religious people. Verse 4. Huh, what? I got to go back in my mother's womb? No. First, there is a physical birth. First, you have to have a physical birth that gets you. Verse 6, follow with me. That gets you here. Your first physical birth gets you here. But there comes a time in your life. There comes a time in your life where you realize the fact that you being in charge is not working. And so we got a lot of people in church that still are in charge of their life and still trying. So you're still trying to do what all your friends tell you that'll bring you peace. You're still trying to do what all your friends say will bring you joy. You're trying to snuff it, smoke it, snort it, stick it, dip it. You're doing all that you can to party, and you're going, what'll make me have fun? What'll bring me peace? What'll bring me joy? There comes a time in your life when you say, ain't none of this working. Say, none of this working. So you grow up and you get a job, make lots of money. You buy a car, then you buy another new car, and you buy you a nice house, and you buy you a vacation house, and then you fly all your family all around to Europe and to London and England, and I still don't have no peace. That still ain't working. So I tried doing all that over here, that didn't work. Now I tried spending all the money I can make, that didn't work. And you come to the place in your life, you say, I'm still fearful. I'm still full of worry. I'm making all of the decisions, and it's not working. What needs to happen is I need to have a Lord change in my life, because me making the decisions is not producing what I want produced in my life. See, religious people go to church, had 42 jobs, it's not working. Been married 7 times, still not working. Still can't find the perfect one. Church people, I've done things that I hate. I've done things that I'm embarrassed of. I've done things that I don't want nobody to know about what I've done. See, you've been born one time. I'm glad you're in church. We're thrilled you're in church. You've been born one time. That's why you're able to sit here. But you come to a place where you're born another time, where you become a new creature in Christ, where old things pass away for you. And many of us in here can look back in our life and we look back and we can't imagine that we ever did that. Because that is so foreign to the way we think now. I'm repulsed. I don't even believe that I thought that I did that I went there, that I acted like that. I can't even believe that I used to do that. See, because you have been born again. Born again. You've been born again. Go to John chapter 1. Today's Christian has totally missed these 14 verses. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was God's Word. It already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through him. And nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, is coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people and they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn. Not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made its home among us. And he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen the glory of the Father's one and only Son. We're missing that God, Jesus, and the Word are inseparable. The Word was God, the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. You don't take wet out of water, nor do you take God out of his Word.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, Tim, I love God. I know God sent Jesus, but I personally believe, well, I think, well, I was born, well, I have always been taught. See, you don't redefine sin and still believe in God because you can't take wet out of water. You don't redefine the Word of God to suit your flesh, to suit your desires, to make adjustments for how you were born. Well, in fact, is we don't need a church board to vote on what our denomination is going to believe this year. Are you kidding me? Now, look, I don't have no problem with different denominations. I don't have any problem with different denominations, not at all. That's why we got chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry ice cream. They're, not everybody likes our style here. There are a lot of people that like to go to church and be bored stiff. There's a lot of people that like to sing, if you call it that. And that's good with me. I mean, that's good. But we're not voting on what we're going to believe this year. I don't care if you want to chant, if you want to sing with no instruments, or if you want Timmy up here rocking and rolling on the bass, we're going to preach the Bible. We're going to preach the Word of God. And that's what we're going to believe, and that's what we're going to make as our standard, because in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and I don't rewrite the Bible because personally I feel, I could care less about how you personally feel. What does God say he's going to bless, and what does God say his wrath is loosed on? Keep your feelings to yourself. Go to the back of the Bible, 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. We're lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness, not practicing the truth. You don't slip a hand up and then go on practicing spiritual darkness. There is a change that takes place in your life to where your life becomes obedient to the Word, chapter 2, verse 3. We can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. Chapter 3, verse 4. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. But anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. But anyone keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come, and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now that we know the true God, we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God. There's not many religions. There's not many alternatives. There's one. There is one. And we are not going to assemble here and elect a board that will go to a district meeting and vote on what we're going to believe. What we're going to do is open God's word and find direction for our life from the mouth of God. The Bible is clear. There is a difference in the way you now live. The word of God and Jesus are inseparable in our lives. And we don't say that we love Jesus and do away with the authority of Scripture in our life. The Bible is our authority. And in the Scripture, we look to the final authority in our decisions. There is a submission to His Word. There's no doubt you think it's okay. There ain't no doubt that you believe in your heart that it's fine for you to do this, that, or the other. But it's not I who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. I've made the decisions in my life, and I wasn't happy with the results. I was not happy with what that produced. Peace comes, joy comes as a result, or the Bible says, as a fruit of Him being in you. Today, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you are facing, God sees you. God is available to you. And it's not on your own terms, it's on His terms. And when you lay down, you lay your life down, not my will, but yours be done. Here I am, Lord, use me. We're halfway through 2016. And right now, right today, halfway through 2016, I want to take just a few minutes. We want to dim the lights. I want to put on some worship music. And I want to have an update. In your life, is Jesus your Lord? What areas of your life is He not Lord in? Is He Lord, or is your mood still Lord? Is He Lord, or is your anger still Lord? Is He Lord, or is your lust still Lord? Right now, we want to just take a minute. We're not going to be long. We want to open up the altars for those that want to come. Kneel at the altar. Repent of your sins. Make Him Lord.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by the pastors at CM Church, please log on to our website at www.cmchurch.com and click on our podcast link. You can also purchase series and other messages at our online store.